the book of James, please. Same scripture that we read last Wednesday night, we'll try to pick up on and share some more with you concerning prayer. We're looking toward a revival meeting. We call it revival, and we pray it will be revival. There's some things that we need to do, and one of those things is to pray. The Bible said, and I heard Brother Roland quoting that verse while he prayed a while ago, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. So those two things come first, humility and praying. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. James chapter 5, verse number 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Elijah was a man subject of like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. And I pray tonight, help us as we think about praying, that our minds be illuminated and our hearts touched. And I pray, Father, the power of the Holy Spirit would move in this service, and that you would stir all of our hearts, and that all of us would be moved toward that subject of prayer, and that you may help us to think about our praying. And Lord, we do pray about our praying and ask you, God, to help us, and we'll praise you and thank you. Then, Lord, I pray for those who may be in the house of God tonight that's not well physically, you touch. Those that's at home and love to come and couldn't come, I pray you touch them. Then we pray for those that have been in bereavement. We pray for those who are having a difficult time. Problems are heavy upon them. I pray you'd help them. Then, Father, tonight we pray for those that may be unsaved, that sat in the house of God this evening, and some that may be out of the will of God. I pray the Holy Spirit bring conviction and drawing power. And, Father, help us tonight, and we'll praise you for all you do. We plead the blood of Jesus and the victory in Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Our subject is hindrances to prayer. Hindrances to prayer. And last week we talked about the subject of being unhumbled. And I said, I don't know what's a word or not. Unhumbled. I don't know that I ever used it before, ever thought. But pride. We talked about pride. How pride gets in the way. We just quoted that verse. We talked about Brother Roland quoting, if my people, but Proverbs 6:16, God said he, six things he hates and seven abominations. First one was a proud look. And so it's God certainly hates pride. Then we talked about unjudged iniquity. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. And we talked about that. We talked about Isaiah 59:1-2. And said, the Lord's arm's not short and he cannot save, nor his ear heavy, cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face that he will not hear. And we talked about that just a little bit. And in other words, our sin keeps God from hearing our prayer. If they're unconfessed and not under the blood, we got a problem. And we have to deal with that before we can pray for God to help others. And so I pray that God will help us as we think about ourselves. I think about that laver so often in the Old Testament, because when they made their sacrifice, before they made the lamb sacrifice and before they went in the holies of holies, they went by a laver, brazen laver. Brass speaks of judgment. And there they would wash their hands and their feet before they went in. And then they go in, minister with the holy things and the holy place, and the high priest then once a year in the holies of holies. But that laver pictures us confessing our sin and washing, as it were, the water of the word, letting God help us and point out to us our own sin, our problems, and deal with those. Now tonight, I want to deal with a couple other things quickly, as God will help us do so, and pray that he will help us. Pride has got to go if we're really going to pray. We have to judge sin in our own lives if we're really going to pray. Then let me give you a third thing. The hindrance to prayer is being unforgiving. We must forgive if we are to really pray. And that has to be. Look at verse 16. in our text. Confess your faults one to another. And again, I remind you that I've been in services, and most of you have been in church any length of time, where sometimes somebody gets a confessing something and somebody else will catch on. And usually it winds up being a great service because people are getting right with God. And we need to see ourselves like God sees us. And don't you depend on how you think you see you. You need to see you as God sees you, because we see ourselves in the wrong light. But God sees us right, and we need some help with it. I want you to look in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And surely there has to be forgiveness in the home. If there's not forgiveness there, it won't be anyone outside of there. And you say, well, I never have to forgive my husband or wife for anything. You probably tell a big tale about something else too. We have to forgive. And so it says that your prayers be not hindered. And I'm concerned that our prayer life be not hindered. Won't you look in Mark chapter number 11, verse 25. Mark chapter 11, verse number 25. Here's what it says. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father, of which also in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And so what he's saying there is, if we don't forgive, we're not in any shape to ask God to help us forgive, to forgive us of our sin, because we still have sin harbored in our own life. Now, I grant you, sometimes it's hard to forgive. If you think, and you just say, well, I just forgive, and that's all there is to it, you got another thought coming. Because a lot of times the devil will jump on whatever it is, and he'll really work in your heart about it. He'll bring it to your remembrance. And I've had some things I've had to deal with and try to forgive, and a few folk I'd like to, never mind. But anyway, you know how, you say, preacher, I never got that upset to anybody. You probably been living in a cave somewhere, amen. Somebody would ruffle your feathers sometime or other and get you upset and tore up and everything else. But I'm glad for that grace of God that works. Amen. Amen. If he didn't work in my heart and help me, I'd be in a mess. And you would too. But I'm glad we can forgive by his grace. And that forgiveness can be ours, and we can forgive too. And God can help us with it. And I pray that God will do that. You remember Jesus when they was crucifying him, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I am sure that there's been many times that I have been hurt, if that's the right word to use, that somebody didn't realize that they did it. And I probably hurt people not realizing that I did. And I remember one case, and particularly, and I won't go into detail about that, but that somebody really got upset and hurt about something, and I absolutely did not even know that I had done anything wrong, or that the fact is I hadn't. I just had overlooked somebody. Didn't mean to, wouldn't deliberately have done it for the world, but it happened. And but we need to forgive folk for things. And if we don't, we're in trouble, amen. And may God help us to forgive and be willing to do that. But I want to move on to something else I want to give you tonight. I want you to really get. And forgiveness is a real important thing. We could dwell there a long time. I don't know that it helps us a whole lot, but because it's simple, we either forgive or we don't forgive. We either ask God to help us to forgive and put it behind us, or else we don't. And I have to do that. And God has to keep reminding me about that. And because there's always something coming up, always. The devil will see to it. And I always get a little, I stay a little nervous before I preach all the time anyway, but I'm preaching and getting ready for a revival. I really get a little nervous because of the fact I know the devil will do everything that he can to mess us up before revival time. And he'll try to get somebody upset, or get something to happen, or some tragedy or something come by, and try to interfere with revival meeting. But oh, I'm so glad that God can help us, amen? And he does, and I praise him and thank him for it. But I want to show you something else. In verse number 17 and 18 of our text, it talks about Elijah when he prayed, and said he shut heaven up for 3 years and a half. And then he prayed and God gave rain. Now, I want to talk about unfounded praying hinders praying. If it's unfounded. And when I say founded, unfounded, I'm talking about it's not founded on the right thing. We need to make sure that our praying is founded right. Now, I want to show you something about this prayer of Elijah that he prayed. I want you to turn with me, please, over in 1 Kings chapter 8. In 1 Kings chapter number 8. And look at verse number 35 and 36. Now, this is before the Mount Carmel experience. This is before he called the prophets of Baal together. It's before that. This is back beyond before that. And here's what the Bible says. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward the place, this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the earth, upon the land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Now here he's saying, God shut heaven up because of their sin, and then said if they'd repent, God would give rain. Now Elijah prayed, asked God to shut heaven up, and he did. You know why he prayed that prayer? It was founded on the word of God, because God said because of their transgression, because of their sin, because of the rejection of God, that he would shut heaven up. So Elijah had a foundation to pray on. He had a biblical ground to pray. And sometimes, well, we'll get into that in a minute, but we need that biblical ground to pray. And if we're going to pray for revival, we need a biblical ground for it. We're going to pray God touch. We need a biblical ground. And Elijah had that biblical ground because God had said he'd shut heaven up. And then on Mount Carmel, remember what the people cried? After the fire fell, they cried, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And they was killing the prophets of Baal and tearing down their altars and so forth. And God sent rain. You remember what Elijah said to Ahab? Get up. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And it's going to rain. He prayed, God shut it up. God shut it up. He prayed, God give rain. When they repented, God gave a rain. I believe God honors his word. And we need to make sure our praying is founded on the word of God, the things of God. Look in James chapter 4 and verse number 3. Hear what it says there. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. He said you're asking for things because you're praying amiss because you're just wanting something selfishly. And even when we're praying about healing, a physical, we need to pray according to the will of God. It's not always God's will. In fact, it's not always best for us that God heal us. And I can't find in Scripture where that I can demand that God heal anybody. And over in Isaiah chapter 53, when it talks about by his stripes you are healed, if he's talking about physical healing, then he paid for every bit of it when he died, then we ought never get sick. If we did, all we have to do is plead that happened at Calvary and we'd be well. If that's in context, am I right? If that's context of it, then that's what that means. Because he's talking about salvation and healing of our sickness and sin. And surely he does that. And I believe that God can heal sickness physically as well as he did when he walked on this earth, Jesus Christ, touched bodies and healed. God can heal, amen, he does heal. And fact is, if you ever get better over anything, it's divine healing. God did it. If God don't see fit for you to get well, you won't get well. I don't care what you got or how many doctors you see, nor where you go, nor what you plea or anything else. God does hear prayer. And God does sometimes see fit to heal, and I praise him and thank him for it. But sometimes Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it was a physical ailment of some kind, and God would not heal him. And God said he gave it to him to keep him where he wanted to, so he could use him. And Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. And so he had a problem, and he just went ahead and shouted on it, and God didn't see fit to heal it, so he went on his way serving God anyhow. I say, praise the Lord, it's the way it's supposed to be. And so when you pray, have a grounds to pray on. I realize there's some promises of God that we have. And I believe in context of James 5, by the way, and some verses I read there and some verse previous, I believe he's mainly dealing with somebody that's had sin in their life. And they've been afflicted, chastened by God. And now they're confessing God. He said if they sin, God would forgive them and heal them. I'm thinking that's the case in context of that scripture. But I'm telling you about our praying. I'm just talking about praying. It needs to be founded on the word of God. And if you're under chastening hand of God, you have a ground to confess it and pray and ask God to help you, forgive you, and then heal you. By the way, you don't have a right to ask God to heal you as long as you've got sin in your life anyway. How can I ask God to heal somebody that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord? I'm asking God to help somebody that serves a devil instead of God. Is that not right? I believe that we need to be sure that our praying is founded right. If we're going to pray for somebody to get well, we don't need to pray for sick. God may have them sick so he can get them under, make them think they're going to die so they want to get saved and then save them, get them better. Amen. And I'd rather see them get saved than better. And if they're sick, sometimes I believe we ought to pray God make them sicker. You don't hear anybody ever pray that prayer. I don't pray it either, but I thought about it a few times. Amen. And you ever think about praying like that? Lord, help them. Get the sick, they think they need, they're going to die, so they know they need God and see where they are. And I say, hey, we need to pray. Pray for them to get saved, get born in the family of God. That's the greatest need they have. I understand our praying for the sick folk, and we need to pray for them, but I'm concerned about salvation more than I am the sick. And I believe that we need to pray more about the salvation than we do for the sick. And I believe this with all my heart. If we would get as concerned about people going to hell as we get concerned about people being sick, that we would see real revival come. Amen. I've often said to all of us, I'm including myself, if there's real somebody in the family close to us real sick, we'll set up. We'll do whatever need. We'll skip meals. We'll do whatever we have to do to help that individual. And that person that's lost and going to hell, they need more help than that sick person does. And we need to pray and ask God to help them and really help them. And I've told y'all many times about Dr. Percy Ray and how he did that lady. And I guess you can call her a lady, but anyway, it's a good story, and he did it, and Dr. Percy Ray could get by with it, and she'd always come to church and get right, and then she'd go out and get in sin, and she'd get sick, and she'd get in the hospital, or sick, and she'd call for preacher Percy Ray to come and pray for her, she'd get well, she'd come to church, and say she's going to live for God, then she'd get back out. One day she got sick. And she called for Brother Ray, and Brother Ray come, and he talked real rough. And he said, Lord, while you got here, just kill her. She said, no, don't pray that prayer. And the story goes, and I believe Dr. Ray told it right. She said she got right, got in church, and stayed there. Amen. And I thought, man, sometimes we probably need to pray that prayer for some folk. And just go in and see them while they're sick and say, Lord, you got them here. Just go ahead and kill them while you got them here and walk out and see what they do. Some of y'all thinking about that right now. And I don't know what you're going to do, but anyway, I've never tried that per se, but I'm pretty close to it one time. But anyway, I believe that God needs to work in their hearts. Amen. And they need that. You remember the Pharisee that went up to the house of God? Talking about this foundation of praying now. I want to get this right tonight. Because if you don't get this right, you won't pray right anyhow. And this Pharisee that went up to the house of God to pray, and the publican, you remember the story? And the publican smote his breast, said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house justified. The Pharisee stood over there and prayed, Lord, I tithe, I fast. And he started bragging on himself how good and how much he did. Now, if we're not careful, now listen closely. If we're not careful, we'll, in our praying, tell God how good we are or how much we've suffered. And I want to make a point right here. It doesn't make any difference how much you've suffered. I mean, you may have been suffering for years, and you may have been mistreated wrongly for many years. You may have been in a mission field somewhere in the deepest part of some lost country somewhere and forgotten about, and nobody ever wrote you a letter, ever cared about you, or ever did anything for you. That does not change one bit that you have any right to pray about anything any more than anybody else does. Amen. Our praying is not founded on what we've been through or what we do or what we have done or how good we are, because we're not worth a flip. I don't care the best we are, we're not worth anything. And Brother Kenya, if you don't know what a flip is, we'll try to explain that after a while. But it's not worth a flip. It doesn't make any difference how good you think you are or how much you have done or what we think we have done, because we haven't done anything outside of what God enabled us to do. And he did it. God just uses human instruments to do what he wants to do. And it's all to his glory and honor. And so we don't need to pray. Our foundation of praying, may God help us. Sometimes we may not pray that prayer. We may not say it with words, but we got it in our minds. Well, I'm doing pretty good, I guess I can pray. And we sometimes think that way about people praying for us. And pick out, you know, it's not that. Somebody that you may not even think about, may not even outwardly show, may be able to get to God quicker than somebody you think can get to God. That makes sense to you? I believe that we need to understand the fact that our praying ought to be founded on the Word of God, on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God, and that we have the right to come in Him, through Him, and by Him, and no other thing. Amen? And may God help us not ever get caught up in trying to think that we need something, we deserve anything. In Proverbs 28 and verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, if we don't listen to what God has to say and obey God, his prayer is an abomination. So it's got to be founded right. It's got to be founded on the Word of God. We got to hear the law, the Word of God, and be sensitive to that, to have a founded prayer life that we need, founded on something solid, the Word of God. And John 15 and 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Now, in that scripture, he said, if ye abide in me, that little word if comes to play. Now, we know we're in Christ Jesus by the grace of God, saved, we're put there. We know that. But abiding in him means that our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, our very being, that we're thinking about him, living for him, following the word of God, doing what God says to do. His word abides in us. That word is abiding in us. Then we'll be praying right. You won't be asking God for something crazy. You won't be asking foolishly. You won't be praying for something selfishly. And we all been guilty of that, looking at ourselves and seeing our needs and forgetting about everybody else. And that we need to get moved beyond that realm and have a good foundation of our praying and pray according to the will of God. And how you know the will of God? By the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. As you abide in Him, He abides and you abide and the Word of God abides in you, you will be praying right. I'll be praying right. But if I'm not abiding in him, my life is haphazard. My prayer life won't be right, not founded right. And if the word of God doesn't abide in me, and if I don't get in it and put it in me, then I won't be abiding in it. It won't be abiding in me, then I'll mess up. Somebody, Brother Bill, somebody mentioned to me about, we're talking about when Jesus being tempted, and every time that he answered by the word of God. And we need that word of God so hidden in our hearts that we too can answer by the word of God. And we need that word of God when we're praying. God made us some promises about praying. And we need to grasp on those promises and have a founded prayer life. And God said he hear us if we're not got iniquity in our hearts. God said he'd show us great and mighty things. God said he'd do those things. We need to latch on some verses that God has given to us and founded on the word of God and pray right. Amen. Amen. Not regarding iniquity. We need to make sure that our prayer life is founded on the Word of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, just want to say thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege that we have to abide in you and the Word abide in us. And Lord, that we not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But Father, we think humbly as we ought to think. and realize, God, that our hearts are desperately wicked and there's none good. And Father, and in ourselves, we don't even know how to pray, how to live, how to do anything. But in your word and by your spirit, you teach us. And I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us, God, in our prayer life. And then help us in forgiveness, that we would forgive right. Help us in our humility to be humble as we should. And I pray, Father, you'd help us, Lord, that we would judge ourselves as we ought to do by the word of God. Let the searchlight of heaven turn in on us and confess our sin. I pray tonight, God, these hindrances to our prayer life can be put out of the way as we pray for revival. Lord, touch your hearts and help us in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, stand to your feet, please.